Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. If you have not checked that out yet, what are you waiting for? It was absolutely awesome yesterday. Those guys are amazing. You are going to want to make that part of your daily routine. Of course, all of our football coverage on WSSP is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Which I cannot tell you how excited I am to be joined by Lily Zhao, Fox 6 News in Milwaukee, sports anchor and reporter. You can find her on Twitter at Lily Zhao, LilyZhao. She is joining me now, my first guest ever on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Lily, it is awesome to have you. How the heck are you doing?
I am doing great, Andy. I feel honored to be the first guest, so thank you so much for bringing me on, and it's going to be so fun to, you know, talk about football with you again.
Yes, it very much is. Lily and I go back to her days when she was at WFRV in Green Bay. We worked together on Green Bay Nation. It was a ton of fun talking ball with Lily every single week, so I'm excited to do it here. Nobody I would rather have more as the first guest on the show. The biggest question, Lily, of course, is, like, are you going to update your Twitter profile first, your resume first, to put first guest ever on the Pack-A-Day? Like, where's the most important update? Like, that's got to be a huge resume builder, I would assume.
Oh, totally. We'll throw it everywhere. Twitter, LinkedIn, resume, everything. So
beautiful. Well, again, it's awesome to be talking to you. I want to just start Packers Cardinals. As you were kind of watching this game and, you know, kind of seeing how Green Bay was kind of taking care of business against the Cardinals, what were just kind of your key takeaways and what was going through your head as you were seeing Green Bay really kind of dismantle Arizona?
I think this is kind of the version of the Green Bay Packers that they expected to be this season, and it might have taken 6 weeks to get there, but it seems like we're getting there. But I think the best thing I saw was just they played cleaner football. You know, I think Matt LaFleur talked about it the last couple of weeks. They had penalties in the double digits. Yeah, there's still penalties on Sunday, but they cut those down, and you could see just the benefit of that, right? I mean, when you cut down on penalties, your drive just goes smoother. The stoppage of play doesn't affect the guys. And so I thought they played a cleaner game, and they just executed. They flat-out executed. And it was just fun to watch Jordan Love just be in stride in that first half and the defense come alive in the second half. And that's when you talk about complementary football, which is what they did for 60 minutes. And so that's what I was most encouraged by, right? You execute, you cut down on the penalties, and then we can kind of see where this offense truly can go, right? And the ceiling is high for the offense. Ceiling is high for the defense. So we saw them kind of put together a complete game. The question is, can they carry it on this week onto a tougher opponent with the Texans? That's the big question, but I was very encouraged with what I saw, and I liked the contributions from the offense, spreading the ball out, and the defense, of course, getting three extra takeaways.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think it was sort of proof of concept of what we expected from this Packers team, what we thought they could do if they kind of cleaned up their mistakes, that we thought, you know, hey, if they just get out of their own way, they're going to be able to take care of business on offense, defense, and special teams. And outside of, like you said, a couple things here and there, the missed field goal by Braden Narveson. And then, you know, it's funny because you talk about those mistakes. Even if you go to Arizona's lone touchdown drive in this game, that was really, you know, sort of helped by the fact that there was a Jair Alexander penalty and there was a Keyshawn Nixon, I believe, illegal hands to the face penalty on that drive as well. But a couple penalties, you make those couple mistakes and it helps them on their one touchdown drive. So when this team gets in its way, you know, kind of bad things happen. And when they stay out of their way, they are a very tough team to handle in all phases. And I think overall, that's a positive sign that, hey, this team, they're just going to play a better brand of football as we continue along. But it was great to kind of see the proof of concept as they went and just kind of dismantled Arizona in this game. I know one of the stories that you were obviously keeping very close eye on in the locker room and just from afar too was the Romeo Doubs saga. Obviously, it was a very interesting situation how everything happened, and he gets suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. There was a big question of how would he be utilized in this game? Would he have to earn his spot back? A, what did you think of the sort of entire situation, and then kind of B, where are we at now, and especially after Romeo you know, responded with a huge game on Sunday?
Right. I think a lot of us, and I'm sure his teammates included, were kind of surprised at this kind of, and we don't know where it really truly stemmed from, right? We don't know how long it's been kind of in his mind and how he was, but, you know, I was glad that he was asked if he was okay, and, you know, he responded there was a lot of things going on, you know, mentally and this week, and didn't want to get into it, but I think a lot of people were surprised because, I mean, he was a very much team-first guy, and I think that's what we really liked about Romeo Doubs was him saying, listen, the team is first, and then, you know, whatever I get, you know, I want to contribute to the team. I want to contribute to the team getting a win, and that's the most important thing, and that's what you love about this Packers wide receivers room, right? They're very unselfish, and so I think, you know, the reports coming out that, you know, he potentially was unhappy with his role, the team going to go check on him, and, you know, all that kind of unraveled, so you're kind of wondering what happened. And so I know they're kind of keeping it close to the vest, and, you know, I know Romeo Doubs didn't want to comment on it or to the extent of it and said, I just want to move on. But like you mentioned, just earning the trust back from his team, right? I think that was addressed as well, and I think he did. And I think when you have, you know, Dontayvion Wicks coming out with a shoulder injury, you're saying, okay, Romeo is even more important now, right? You lose a playmaker, yet you keep a playmaker in Doubs on the field. And so I think he earned his teammates' trust back. I think that was very evident with the touchdown celebration that he had and, you know, the group hug celebration, I think, was just perfect. It was perfect for him. I know, as you know, Andy, he's not, you know, the flashiest guy in terms of celebrations or doesn't show the most emotion. So I think the fact that the guys kind of rallied around him in that time after he got that first touchdown of the year was telling. It was very telling because everyone went around him and showed their support for him. And I think that was a big moment for the team, for himself, and for everyone to see that, listen, this might have been a blip in the radar. You know, Matt LaFleur called it an isolated incident, and they welcomed him back. And that was a big sign of that. And then, of course, goes out and has a two-touchdown day. So it was great to have Romeo back. He again addressed it after the game saying, you know, I just want to move forward. The team comes first. And that's kind of been the message that's been reiterated throughout the locker room as well. So hopefully, you know, hopefully he's okay. Hopefully, you know, people weren't jumping to their own conclusions and he can just kind of just play football now, right, and put it behind him.
Yeah, it felt like this was mission accomplished all the way around for everyone. I love the fact that he was appreciative of getting a second chance with the team. I love the way that Matt LaFleur handled this. You know, the suspension is a tool that they have to sort of get maybe a player refocused. It worked with Jaire Alexander last year. It seems to have worked with Romeo Doubs this year. Hopefully they don't have to use that tool too many more times in the Matt LaFleur era, but hey, it's there to use in those sort of situations. And I think by going out there, and as you mentioned, regaining the trust of his teams, a team going out and having a great performance, you could tell again everyone rallied around him on the field. We saw it, as you mentioned, in the touchdown celebration. We saw it in the post game after when Matt LaFleur was, you know, giving the accolades and yelling him out, and when Romeo Doubs' name got called up, the whole team, you know, exploded in cheers. So this team rallied around him. I think to get the, you know, just everyone past this, I think this is exactly what was needed. There was no like, oh my goodness, he only played, you know, 12 snaps and had to earn his way back. Like, nope, he was right back in the rotation, went out and had a great game, two touchdowns. It seemed like the fans were in full support of him, the team was in full support of him, and it just felt like this was like the open and close, we're good now, we can move on. And I think that's exactly what everyone needed. And to your point, and I'm glad you brought up too, like his health and his well-being is number 1A in this conversation. So a couple touchdowns doesn't, you know, I'm, you know, sure solve that, and whatever he is had to go through, hopefully that is something that he can continue to make progress on and get better, and that it doesn't affect him moving forward. But that's obviously Romeo's journey, and we'll all be cheering him on along the way. And it was just kind of great to see him from a football standpoint get reintegrated and again kind of put this all past us. Packers 17 takeaways through six games. 17 takeaways, Lily Zhao, through six games. They had 18 total last season. They're one off of their 2023 total, only six games into the season. They, you know, Matt LaFleur was asked a little bit about this yesterday, Jeff Hafley's influence, obviously some more playmakers on the team. Where do you put, you know, how this defense is performing and being able to take away the football so far this season?
Right, it's been so fun, and I'm pretty sure we can pencil in they're going to break the record, or last year's total, I would say, this Sunday, right?
Yeah, I think so we all pencil it in, hopefully. If not, something's gone horribly wrong.
Right, right, right. Because, I mean, they have five games with three takeaways. I mean, that's been crazy this year. And I think it's a credit to Jeff Hafley, of course, with his scheme, and of course, to Brian Gutekunst for drafting the guys that he did, because you look at Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Edgerrin Cooper, those young guys who are contributing in that defense, and these are all rookies. And so, you know, they play a big part of that as well. But then, of course, you know, Xavier McKinney coming to town has been massive, right, with his five interceptions. So I think you talk about the key acquisitions, the draft, those guys coming to town on defense, and Jeff Hafley's ability to utilize them in a system. And I think what's really important is just how versatile they are and how Hafley is able to adapt and move his guys around, right? Not one guy has a, you know, 100% set role in the defense. There's that versatility there. So you add all that with their talent, they're playing well, and they have good vision, which is what Matt LaFleur said, right? They have good vision, and they're attacking the football. And that's kind of what I think was lacking last year. You know, they were trying to get there, and they couldn't quite do it. And I know a lot of people were talking about the pass rush and the lack of sacks, but listen, when the pressure is there, you know, you're forcing the quarterback to make mistakes, and you're punching the ball out. And I think that's what's really been the key for this defense, is just attacking that football and just being fearless with it.
And so it's I'm so glad you brought up the – oh, sorry, go ahead, Lou.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm so glad you brought up the adaptability and versatility of this defense, because I think it's so funny when people heard Jeff Hafley talk for the first time in his press conferences, so many of the things, the talking points that got taken away is, you know, him talking about the desire to get turnovers and pressure and, you know, sending people up the middle and having more of a gap attacking scheme and playing more single high and press man on the outside, and all these talking points got taken away. And the big thing that I took away from his press conferences, especially initially, was the fact that he was going to be adaptable and he was going to be versatile, and there wasn't going to be this one size fits all defense that they're going to do the same thing over and over and over. And if it calls for Javon Bullard to be moved in the slot, or Keyshawn Nixon to be moved to the outside, or Eric Stokes to start a game, or Carrington Valentine to start a game, Bullard to be at safety, or Williams to be at safety, Cooper to play more at linebacker, or McDuffie, or there were games where Eric Wilson got more playing time. Like, he is willing to mix and match his personnel and what he's doing. We've seen games with more man coverage, we've seen games with more zone coverage. Like, he is willing to build that game plan very much towards his opponent. It's to me very similar to what Matt LaFleur does on offense. He has certain plays and core concepts within his offense that he wants to get to, but he is going to mix and match and put that playbook together and put the players together in packages based on what opponent that they're going against. And we're seeing that with Jeff Hafley. And not that he's recreating the, you know, reinventing the wheel here or anything. This is what a lot of defensive coordinators do, but coming from a Joe Barry system that was very much, this is what we're going to do week in and week out, same players, same spots. We're going to play very, you know, soft, passive coverage, and you're going to have to go down the field. It's going to be a bend but don't break. It just feels so refreshing, and I think we're really seeing players being put in advantageous positions to go make those turnovers.
Yeah, totally, and I totally agree with that, and I think just that versatility with switching it up every week, right? Obviously, you're not going to be playing the same quarterback every week. You're not going to be playing a similar offense every week, so just his ability to go out there and say, okay, this is what works, this is what doesn't, let's switch it up, let's move guys around. I mean, it keeps opposing offenses guessing, and it makes it fun, right? It makes it fun on defense for those guys to say, hey, listen, we know we can play. Let's just see what else we can do with this defense. And, you know, I've talked about the trust on the defense as well, and that these guys know that as they get better and better in the year, they can trust everybody else on the field to do their job, to do their 111th, right? So you can focus on yourself and get better that way. So I think that's also very important, as well as those guys just trusting each other to be in the right place at the right time so they can do their job as well. So that's also very important.
I think it also brings competition, right? When you've got guys that can play multiple roles, it just makes you have to be on the best of your game, because, again, if you're not playing well, they have other guys that can do it too, and they keep rotating those guys in, and you have a bad game or you're not focused, they can put somebody else in that spot. So it just kind of, I think, you know, adds to everyone trying to be better and be the best version of themselves, which is always a positive as well. Lily, what did you take away from Matt LaFleur's comments on Braden Narveson yesterday? He sort of gave a vote of confidence, but it felt a little maybe less so than it had been in previous weeks. He did say that Alex Hale could potentially be ready if they needed him. Where did you read between the lines? Is Braden Narveson going to be the kicker this weekend? Should he be the kicker this weekend? Where do you come down on all that?
Right. I don't think Matt LaFleur is ever going to be a coach to say, oh, we don't have confidence in our guy, right? Because they're right on the team for a reason. I don't think he's ever going to say that, and I give him props for that, right? But you're right, there was a little bit of wavering there. There wasn't 100%, you know, he's going to be the kicker this week on Sunday, we are confident, et cetera. Even though he did say that after the game, he was asked about it. He said he was confident still with Braden because, you know, he said, hey, we brought him back out. He made the 41-yard field goal, and he made the kick. But when Alex was brought up, Alex Hale, that is, you can kind of see that there maybe would be a little wavering. I think it's tough, right? It's just, we've all talked about it. It's crazy that they've had an easier quote unquote time finding a quarterback than a kicker. But I think it's tough. I don't know if they should go with Braden Arvidsson, but again, I'm not the one pulling the strings. I think, you know, you've seen 6 weeks of what he can do, and he's missed field goals, right? The last stat you want to lead in as a kicker is the most field goals in the season, and to have 5 and 6 weeks is not good. And he would have had a 6 too, that, you know, if it wasn't negated by a penalty this year. So he's been inconsistent, and, you know, it's cost him a game, right? It's cost him a game. It's made some games a little bit tighter than they would like. And fortunately, on Sunday, that missed kick didn't hurt them in the grand scheme of things, but it could come down to, all right, if we bring him back out maybe on Sunday, it cost him a game. And I know, you know, he's tried, and you know, I know he had a good week of practice, but he didn't look that great pregame. And, you know, he goes out and misses a field goal. So I think the confidence might be not as there as Braden would like. And I know it's tough, right? Life in the NFL as a kicker is tough, and you've got to prove it every Sunday. You get minimal chances, and when you get a chance, you got to prove it. And so I know it might be tough, you know, in my eyes to bring him back out, but, you know, do they go to Alex Hale, and can he respond, right? That's the big question is, if they don't go with Braden and they go with Alex and he also struggled, then what do you do? You know, that's the big question.
Yeah, it's a disadvantageous situation. I'm not sure what they can do to fix it. Maybe they can find something at the trade deadline. Maybe they can find something on a who knows at this point. Charlie Smith is on the Saints practice squad. He was an interesting international pathway player that kicked well for the Saints in training. I don't know what they do at this point, but they're not in a situation where it feels good right now. I thought Bill Belichick had some interesting comments yesterday when asked about it and said, hey, if you're altering your decisions on whether or not you have to go for it because you don't trust your kicker, that's probably when it's time to move on. It kind of feels like Matt LaFleur's in that situation where they're going to go for it more often than not rather than kick some of those long field goals. They haven't even attempted a 50-plus yarder, but we'll see what they do. Before we get out of here, Lily, one last question for you. We saw Aaron Rodgers hit another Hail Mary last night, of course, to Alan Lazard, of all people as well. We're 4 Hail Marys in now for Aaron Rodgers' career. We've got Richard Rodgers, we've got Jeff Janis, we've got Randall Cobb, and now Alan Lazard with the Jets. Where are you ranking the 4 Aaron Rodgers Hail Marys in his career so far?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think my favorite still is the miracle in Motown, not because I missed it live. You know, that's a mark that I'll remember forever, Andy. But I just think that play, just he escapes pressure and just heaves it downfield 61 yards to Richard Rodgers. And it was against the Lions. I think that was just one of the most memorable Hail Marys ever. And I think that's how I would rank it. Miracle in Motown, number one. I think the one of Jeff Janis in the playoffs against the Cardinals, number two. I mean, that was just a phenomenal throw. And then Janis comes down with it, but obviously they lost the game. And then I would say the one to Randall Cobb against the Giants, that would be number 3. That tiptoe catch, you know, the back of the end zone, that was great. And then, of course, yesterday's Hail Mary to Alan Lazard. So the fact that he's completed 4 is insanity. And he kind of – they all look a little bit similar when he's throwing. You're like, this is going to be a touchdown. And you know, most often than not that they are. So that's how I would rank him.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. The top 2 are the interesting ones. I think the 3 and the 4 are fairly, you know, clean and obvious. But the Janis one to me, you know, the fact that it was a playoff game, a comeback, that they just hit that big throw right beforehand. But to your point, they didn't pay it off by actually winning the game, which makes it a little bit tougher. Whereas the Lions one was a game winner, a walk-off. So, and I just felt like of all the, if we're talking about, yes, they're all a little bit similar, but the most aesthetically pleasing one for whatever reason definitely felt like the Lions one as well. So I think that's the right order. Lions, Cardinals, Giants, and then the one last night to Alan Lazard. But either way, greatest of all time when it comes to Hail Marys. We can talk about greatest of all time quarterbacks and where people rank. There's no question. There's nobody even in the conversation of greatest of all time for Hail Marys. It is unequivocally Aaron Rodgers. Lily, you are the absolute best. Nobody I could have possibly wanted more as my first guest on the show. Thank you so much for coming on today. Of course, you can find her on Twitter at Lily Zhao, LilyZhao. You can find her on Fox 6 News in Milwaukee. Lily, you're the absolute best. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andy. Congrats on the show and love to be on. Thanks again.